Good morning, church. How's everybody doing on this beautiful Sabbath day? It's good to see your face in the place, a few feet under the seat, and your smiles in the aisles. Come on, say amen to that. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. We want to welcome one and all, member, visitor, friend, to this wonderful celebration of God's goodness to us. We're just glad to be among the living, with warm blood flowing through our veins. And we thank you so much for joining us on the webcast and around the world as we are seeking to preach this gospel, then shall the end come. We thank you so much. We love you today, and we're just are blessed that you have graced us with your presence, our visitors and friends. And it's good to see your faces too, members. It's always good to have the whole gamut at church on the Sabbath day. So we want to begin with a word of prayer, and then we will carry on with our program. Shall we pray? Good morning, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful second Sabbath of May. Lord, you've been good to us, even better than we've been to ourselves. And we just want to thank you and say we love you, Jesus, today, because you first loved us. Now we pray your blessings upon this service as we enter into worship with you intimately, that you would give us a word that we need that we may carry on this race and win it in the end. Thank you. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome up Brother Dawson as he will bring us the scripture at this time. Let's give him a hearty amen as he comes.
Good morning. Yes, God is wonderful. He's good. He's everything. We want to thank God once again for creating mothers. He looked on and saw that he was good. Amen. So turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 from verse 46 to 50. Say amen when you have it. We want to love mother, but we want to practice to love mothers every day. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 46 to 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand towards his disciple and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. May God richly bless these words and everyone in here. Amen. Amen. Sister Dawson, come on.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is good to see your smiling faces this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. Now is a time in our service where we all can participate. Stand to your feet, soul. It's time for us to greet and welcome each other. And when you get to the fifth person, I'd like you to shout a holly, hallelujah. Amen. Go do it, Spirit.
Thank you. 14. John chapter 14, I want to talk about how to have God appear in your life. John chapter 14, while you're finding that, a few things that we're saying together. If you just repeat after me, I am a child of God. I am doing the work of God. I am in the will of God. Therefore, I am walking in the favor of God. Our vision is to reach others, revive and retain one another, and respond to God. Now, under the area of responding, we're working with different mandates, and one of the mandates is to finish renovating our first building. We have to keep in mind this is just the first building that we will have for the Lord. We've been called to put together a senior complex, and so this building will help prepare us for that. We have strategic planning that's part of the mandate, and married couples ministry and evangelism and those things. But we need to prepare ourselves for those. Reach, revive, retain, and respond to God, particularly revive and retain one another, reach to others. Now, for the next 90 days, May, June, July, August, September, October, wherever you hear this, or for those of you who are listening now, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment beginning today for the next 90 days. You may have received some mail from me talking about trying God. We talked about trying God for the next 90 days and asking that you would really focus in on that for the next 90 days. I'm asking that you would work on having a perfect record of giving, a perfect record for praying, and a perfect record for living as God would want you to live. For the next 90 days, I want you to focus on that. All of this month, the next month, and the month following that. Work on your praying, work on your worshiping, and working on your giving. So for the next 90 days, we want you to focus on praying fervently, going before God in prayer, giving cheerfully, and worshiping openly. All right? Did we get that solved so far on the sound? Okay, you're still working on that? I'm going to go ahead and get started, and we trust God is going to work everything out. Let's go to John chapter 14, and John 14. And let's begin with verse number 15. I am still continuing where we were last week on dealing with some things with God and how he works things out in terms of being a commander of covenant wealth. You remember we talked about the covenant on last week and how the Bible is a covenant, a contract, a promise, guarantee between you and God, what you can expect from him. And so we're going to lay some more foundational work today. You have John chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse number 15 and work our way through there. John 14, beginning with verse number 15. You got it? It says in verse number 15, if you what?
Love me.
Love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
That's what verse 15 says. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. Do you have that connection? So he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray. So there's a connection here, not just the commandment connection, but also our experience with God. He says, I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. It still sounds like I'm a little high on volume. Sounds like you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse number 18. And I would not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Is that what your Bible says in verse 18? Okay. Then it says, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's a good thing. Amen. 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Okay, so let's back up. Verse number 15 says, if you love me, do what? Okay, and then I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, right? The comforter is going to come in verse number 17. You're going to know him. He's going to dwell in you. He's going to be in you, with you and in you. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more. Verse 19. But you see me because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know. What will you know? I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. You got that? 21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that doth what? Loveth me, and he that loveth me is loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas said unto him, and this is not Judas Iscariot, the Bible says, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man do what? Love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And what will happen? We will come and make our abode with him. 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth my saying. Keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, for the Father, but the Father's which sent me. Okay? Now, let's begin working with this. Jesus says, anyone who loves me will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Or we'll make our home with him. If you don't love me, you won't keep my words. And the words that you hear, they're not mine, but they're words from my Father, right? Let me try one other thing here to see. If you can maybe turn this off, that may help with some of the buzzing. It's off? So it might be up there on that end, one of those instruments. But let's see if we can take care of that, and we're going to roll on. The text says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. I believe that's verse number 21. Yes. He who has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Right? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. This means that obedience is a test of your love for God. All right? Now just pray for me. I'm going to ignore all the distractions that centering around my head and get into what I need to say today. Obedience is a what? Uh-huh. Obedience is a what? Of your love for God, right? Keeping his words mean you will obey him. If you're not obeying him, you're not obeying him because you do not love him. You show your love for him by obeying him. You got that? When you obey him, you do not just obey him and doing the things you like, but you obey him by doing what he commanded you to do. Is that what the Bible says? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he says in verse number 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And if he loves me, he'll be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself, right? So when you obey him, you don't just obey the things you want to do. You obey everything he tells you to do. When you disobey God, that is called sin. That is called what, everyone? Sin. Sin is disobeying God. But disobedience is more than mere disobedience. When you disobey God, from God's standpoint, it is like you're saying to God, I don't love you. I may like you, but I don't love you. How does God know that I don't love him? He says, I know you don't love me based on whether or not you obey me. If you keep my word, if you obey my word, if you do what I command you to do, then God says you love me. Are we clear so far? I need to know because I want to put a nail in that and use it for something else. Are we clear on that part? Obedience is a test of your what? Love for God. If you love him, you will keep his word. You will obey him. If you're not obeying God, you are telling God, I don't love you. When you disobey God, you're telling God, I don't respect you. I can't stand you. When you disobey God, yet hang out with the people of God, you are telling God, I don't love you, but I do like some of the people who like you. So I will hang out with them as they hang out with you, but I don't love you because I'm not going to obey you. I will hang out with church people because I like them, and I like some of the things about God, but I don't love him. Therefore, both God and I know that I don't love him because I refuse to obey him. I was going to tell you to stop looking guilty, but it's all right. It really is all right because I want to help somebody today. Amen. I want to help. And I think I found a couple of you early in the message. Amen. Amen. And it's too late. If you get up now, it would be obvious. Amen. So just stay and take it, right? Have you ever been around people who really don't care for you? They really don't like you, but they want everybody to think they like you. You've ever been around somebody like that? Don't say amen early now because I'm setting you up. We've already said that your love is connected to obedience. And then you just amen that you have been around people who really didn't like you, but they wanted everybody else to think they liked you. How did you feel under those circumstances? And you were not sure. You had a sneaking suspicion they didn't care for you. You ever been around somebody like that? They may have been dating you, but they were really interested in your girlfriend. Sisters, have you ever had a guy date you, but he really wasn't after you? He was after the lady two seats away from you. And so he had to make it look like he liked you, but he really was listening in two seats down. Y'all don't want to say amen. I know somebody who went after somebody, and that wasn't who they were after. They were after the other person, but they couldn't get to them, so they went after the one close to them first. You know anything about that? Huh? Y'all know anything about that? Have you ever heard of that happening? Okay, let's make it easy on you. Let's deal with reality, amen? Let me give you another one. The brothers on the down low will date you, but they're after your son. You ever heard of that? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're dating you while setting up for your son. You ever dated somebody, they didn't want you, but they liked what you drove? So they just want to sit in your car. They didn't like you. They liked the fact when you dated them, you took them to nice places and you paid for everything. They wanted to be with you forever, but they didn't love you. They were not out with you because they were out with you. They were out with you because they liked what you did while you were out. You ever heard? Because you all don't want to admit that you ever done anything like that. Uh-huh. You were interested with them, but they were not interested with you. So they were always looking for a way to replace you. They did not say it to your face, but you had a sneaking suspicion, huh? They said it in their behavior because there was no heart connection, right? You were a convenience connection. You were convenient. They pretended to like you by hanging out with you, but you knew they were faking it, being with you. This is exactly what Jesus is saying about our relationship with God. You are faking it when you have his instructions, but you refuse to follow them. Mm-hmm. I'll say amen, Lord, I'm with you. You refuse to obey him. You have his commandments, but you don't keep them. And by the way, don't limit it to the 10. It's more than 10 in the Bible, by the way. They're 10 in one area. What exactly is the Bible saying? God is saying, you can only obey me when you love me. You can only obey God when you love God. When you love him, you will obey him in a way that he will come to you. The most attractive thing to God is your love for him. You have to love him in order to obey him. And I want to argue today, the emphasis of the text is on loving him, not on obeying him. Please understand, the text talks about obedience, the text talks about love. But the most important is love, because at some level, it's possible to obey God at some level and yet not love God at all. We read the passage over and over again and emphasized obeying God, and that's what we do. We want to obey God separate from God. We have looked at obeying God as if we can say to God, I will obey you to show you that I love you. When in fact, when you love God, you obey him. You obey him not to prove anything, but because you love him. You are not obeying him to prove your love. You're not trying to prove anything. You just love him. Your love causes you to obey him. If you do it any other way, you are using your obedience as a trick to try to trick God into thinking that you love him. When in fact you don't love him, you're only trying to obey him just to fool him into thinking that you love him because you want to get his goodies. Can I say that again? If you don't love God, but you're trying to fool him by your obedience, by a performance, then you're trying to steal from God what he only gives to those who really love him. It seems to be in the news every year. Some man or some woman, we hear it in the news every year. Some man, some woman will get with some man or woman, and they get real close. So you hear it in the news. They start dating, and gradually, you hear about it in the news. One of them will run off with all the money. You've heard that kind of stuff in the news? Yeah, since you all won't admit you ever done anything, maybe you listen to the news. Amen? So you hear the woman on TV saying, but he said he loved me, right? And we're wondering, how did it happen that he got all of her stuff? And we learn that she gave him access because he pretended to love her and fooled her with obedience. He fooled her with behavior. Some Christians will read the text and they've approached God with the understanding, I will fool God to get his presence. So they read the same scripture like this. They don't say it out loud, but this is what goes through their mind. They read it. If you love me, you would take out the trash. So you take out the trash, but you don't love God. You're just taking out the trash. That's why you can read verse 15 rather, and think you got the whole picture. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You think I got the whole picture because you base all of your emphasis on obedience. You love me, you take out the trash. However, Jesus continues teaching in verse number 21 to 24, and he breaks it down. He says, you cannot fake this. Your obedience has to be based on love. And when it's based on love, we show up and we manifest ourselves in your life. You still with me? Here's the problem. And I don't know how real you want to be, but I'm going to keep moving on. Do you want God or do you want his stuff? No, don't give me the church answer. Do you want God or do you want his stuff? Do you want him or do you want his things? The short answer is what? I don't know about you. When I check my heart, the short answer is I want my cake and I want to eat it. Come on, let's be real. The short answer is when I check my heart and I ask myself that question, do I want God or do I want his things? I want both of them. I want God and I want his stuff. Huh? Do you want God or do you want his stuff or do you want both? Huh? You want both? Okay, let me raise another deal. What if you can only have God or his stuff? Which one would you choose? I don't want the church answer now. If I had to make the choice between Jesus and his things, would I choose Jesus or would I choose this stuff? Don't give me the church answer. My godmother growing up, wonderful lady, meant well. Growing up, I struggled in my relationship with my godmother. Wonderful lady. And I struggled because she was only able to see me a few times in my life, a few times a year or so. And every time she would see me as a little kid, my godmother would always ask me, "What do you want? What do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas?" Because she wanted to make sure she got me something nice as my godmother. And as a boy, man, I had some wants, right? I remember one thing I wanted. I wanted this purple, dark purple bike that was a lowrider bike back in my day. And it had a 5-speed stick shift in the middle with one of those tuck and roll seats. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that, man. Mama couldn't afford it, but my godmother was going to get it for me, right? And listen, and I wanted her to like me because I really wanted her to be connected to me because she was going to get me my bicycle. I believe she had to order it through the mail, and I waited, and I remember waiting for that box to come, and I would call to make sure I would get the box. And I remember one day my bicycle came, and I said thank you to her, and I think I wrote her maybe once or twice after that, and then I lost contact. Not because I had my bike. I didn't lose connection because I had my bike. I lost connection because I never really had a relationship with her other than being my toy supplier. And I remember feeling strange even as a boy. I got that bike. I was overjoyed getting my bike, but I felt guilty because my feelings for the bike were stronger than my feelings for my godmother. What would be your choice? If you could only have God or you could only have his stuff, which ones are your feelings really attached to? God or his things? My first desire with God is, God, I want your stuff. I want your stuff because I believe I can manage your stuff. I believe I can handle your riches. I believe I can walk in favor. I believe I can handle it. I want your stuff. I'm willing and able to have your stuff. That's what I want now. God, I want your stuff because I can control your stuff. I can control your things, but I cannot control you. I want your stuff. I want relief from the pain of the struggle. I want relief from the pain that sinful living brings. I want relief from headache. I want relief from disease. I want relief from violence. I want relief from abuse. I want relief from all of that. So I go to church and I find out that God is good for pain relief. But I don't want a relationship with him, but I want relief from the pain. I am willing to obey what he says, not because I love him, but because I need his stuff. I need some relief. So I date rape God with the drug of praise while he's caught up in my worship. I speak prosperity over my life. I declare it is mine. And then I wonder why God does not manifest himself in my life. Because he knows I don't love him. I only get what he gives to everybody. He says, I let it rain on the just as well as the unjust. That's my issue. What's yours? Beyond your Sabbath smile. What's your issue? Have you ever had somebody steal from you when you thought they were close to you? And then when you found out you were not upset about what they took, you were upset because they didn't appreciate the relationship? Don't want to be real. That's okay. And you said, you didn't have to steal that from me. I mean, the way we got it going on, I would have given it to you. But I thought you were with me. I thought you cared for me, not my things. Things come and go. When you got me, you got my stuff. God says you must love me. And God is saying you cannot love me on your own. You need the Holy Ghost to be your life coach to show you how to love God in a way that God will then manifest himself in your life, and then the stuff shows up. Lord, I really want you. I really need you. I got to have you. Can't live without you. Must have you in my life. So here's the real issue. You cannot grow to love God as your God if you never grow in your relationship with God. You cannot grow to love God if you don't grow in your relationship with God. You cannot grow to obey God on the level that God requires unless you have a relationship with him. If you don't have a relationship with God, you will obey God at the level of the animals. I can train my dog to obey me. Matter of fact, I can train your dog to obey me and it still be your dog. I can train your dog to obey me, and yet your dog loves you. Your dog can obey me because of my commanding obedience, but your dog will be loving you. He won't be obeying me because he loves me. He'll be obeying me because I'm the dog trainer. He won't be obeying me because he loves me. His heart will be with you, but his obedience will be with me. And I hear God saying, I cannot show up in your life because your obedience is with me partly, but your heart is somewhere else completely. And because your heart is somewhere else, I cannot give myself to you as I desire to give to you. Again, here's the issue. God is saying to somebody, your priorities are out of order. Can I explain that to you? God is saying, you know what? I'm really at the bottom of your list. Oh, no, God. No. I'm a church member. Now, God, I may be a little shaky, but you're not at the bottom. God, you're probably number 3 or 4, but you're not at the bottom. You're not number 1, but you're definitely not at the bottom. But God is saying, if I'm not number 1, I am at the bottom. Oh, Pastor, come on, you playing. No, God is at least 3 or 4. At least once a week, I think about God. At least once a week, I walk past my Bible and I rub it every time I walk past my Bible. And I don't rub any other book in my house. God cannot be at the bottom of my list. I go to church. I go there. I don't get there in time, but I show up before the service is over. God, you're not at the bottom of my list. And I at least brought a dollar with me. God, I brought $2 now because it's a new year. I've got to add it something. I give God $5. Not at the bottom of my list. You up there, God. You up. God said, you're lying. I can't show up in your life. Let me say it another way. I married my wife because I love her. That was my experience. And because I love her, I would not allow any other woman to come before her, not even my mother. Huh? That's Bible. It said, hey, forsake father and mother and do what? Come on, don't be scared to say it. That's Bible. Cleave. Come on. Your spouse has to be number one after God. Period. So imagine after church, I went home talking to my wife today. And I told my wife, baby, I love you, but I need to spend more time with Mary and Martha, and if I'm strange, with Lazarus. Are you listening to me? And then you can have what is left. I will pay all the bills. I will give you all the money. But I'm going to spend my time with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. In my crazy mind, I can feel like I'm doing a good thing because at least I'm telling my wife, you're not at the bottom of my list. How will she be feeling? Come on. How would she feel? She will feel she's not on my list at all. Huh? Pastor, I told God I loved him, and the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes, but you're right to say you love God, but your disobedience says you don't care about God because you don't love him. You really don't care that Jesus died on the cross for you. You really don't care that God loved you. All you care about is your stuff. That's why your obedience is so shaky. You don't care that you don't obey God. You don't care that you're breaking God's heart. You don't care that your sin says, God, I don't love you. That's why every time you get tested, you flake out. You get tested with your time. You can't keep the Sabbath. Throw the Sabbath out the window. Love your job more than your Sabbath. Love your job more than God. You can't be tested with your money. Your money gets funny. The first thing you steal is God's money. You don't care about his children. You're too lazy to be a good parent. You don't do what he says. You don't have a set time to read his word. You don't have a time to read the Bible. You're too embarrassed to praise him. You barely pray. If praise were a kiss, you would never kiss God in public. You don't love him. Do you really want God? Do you really want to love God today? Let's be honest. You really don't want to love God because you don't like God. And you don't want to obey him. You don't like the fact that if you let God in, he would want you to obey him. And there are some things you don't want to let go. So God, I will give you 99 and a half. And God said, who are you fooling? When I'm God Almighty, your 99 and a half means nothing. Matter of fact, your 100% ain't nothing without my blessing. If you started obeying God, guess what? You'd have to change so much about your life that you don't want to change. Uh-huh. You want God to manifest. I need God to manifest because I want him to show up and pay my bills. But you're not going to stop making bills. So God just show up about every 3 months. I need him to manifest in my life. I'm not going to change and start being honest. I'm not going to worship him and praise him. But I do need him to show up and pay my bills. Do you know what's interesting? If I was here preaching about money right now, some of the same folk that are shaking in their shoes would be saying amen, but don't qualify because they don't love God, but are going to sneak in on an amen. Isn't it interesting that when you talk about loving God, all the saints who love him ought to be saying, yeah. But the majority of the saints are scared. Why? Because they know. Trying to sneak in under the radar. Heart has not changed. Life has not changed. But you're sneaking in. Okay, God, I will give you 7 out of 10. Really? If you broke one, you're guilty of them all because it's all based on a relationship. If I don't have your relationship, but I have your behavior, you're just taking out the trash to fool me. You don't love me. You like kingdom covenant wealth, and that's what's driving your behavior. And if you can get your hands on that from God, it's going to be good. Oh, God, you're good because you pay all my bills and you got me rolling in dough. I got the covenant promises working in my life. It is God who gives me the power to get well. Amen. Come on, God. You so are good. But I'm not going to obey you in all things. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm glad for Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Now, I don't want Exodus 20. A few, in Corinthians, I don't want. But Deuteronomy 18, I'm going to roll with you on that. God, you are good. Worthy to be praised. And then God said, guess what? I can't manifest myself in your life. Interesting, when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back and saying, man, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. He's going to say, I don't know you. Yeah, you know me. I was the one in church. I was the one leading the praise. He said, I don't know you. You got your reward. You did that for men. They bless you. They praise you. I hope you had a good ride because it's over right about now. Because you don't love. I never had your heart. I don't even know you. When you prayed, you're praying from memory. You picked up a piece of somebody's prayer, added it on to a few words, and hoped God would hear you. But you don't know me, and you don't love me. And we miss out on what Jesus is trying to give us. Are you all still in the room? I hope you're hearing this. John chapter 14. Hopefully they turn some air on in here. It's a little warm for some of the saints. John 14, what does it say? He that hath what? John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and does what? Would you ask your neighbor, are you keeping God's commandments? Are you obeying my? Come on, look him in the eye. Ask him, are you obeying God? Do you live for God? Do you obey him? God says, here's the good news. If you keep my commandments, right? You love me. What does the next statement say? He that loveth me shall be what, everyone? Loved of my Father. And what will happen? I will love him. And what will happen? Now let's get into that. Jesus is saying, if you get your love thing right, to where you love me enough to obey me like I want you to obey me, he says, we will show up in your life. We will manifest ourselves in your life. What does that mean? When God shows up, he shows up with total provision. Somebody say total provision. You will have God showing up and having everything in line, total provision, the whole package. Like my uncle, Uncle Jacob. Uncle Jacob in Chicago, man. Uncle Jacob owned a store in Chicago. Owned the store, man. I was glad when I went to visit him because there were no limits. And I was also glad when Uncle Jacob came to California. We were living over in Imperial Courts. Uncle Jake came in rolling. You understand? When he rolled in, we went to the store. You understand? We got on out the hood, went to the store, got suits and clothes. And, I mean, he came in, you know, the roll. And I'm not talking about the fake one where you put a 20 or 100 on the outside and you got paper on the inside or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He came in there rolling. Whatever we need, car need fixing, whatever. Uncle Jacob, God is saying, if you get this thing right, do you know when he shows up with his own credit card? He shows up with kingdom wealth because he rolls like that. He makes power to manifest in your life because that's how he rolls. But he cannot show up because you do not love him. And you're not willing to say you don't love him because you're scared. And while you're afraid, you cannot have faith. And so, somebody's stuck in a twilight zone. You're stuck. You don't believe in purgatory, but you ain't going nowhere today. You're not getting closer to God. You're not getting closer to the devil. You're stuck, and you don't want to admit that you're stuck and don't want to change. So where are you going? If you don't love God, well, Pastor, how can I love God? The only way to get love like this is to go to God and ask him through the power of the Holy Ghost, show me how to love you. Because on my own, I want your stuff. I don't even want you. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. If God showed up himself, naturally you would want to kill him. Because his purity brings up rebellion in the sight of you. And you either try to kill him or take off running. Either one of those reactions must happen. A fight to the death. And that's why Paul had to tell us, I have to die daily. Paul, you die daily? Yes. Because I'm planning on making it in. Wow, Paul, come visit our church. Let's see who dies daily in our church. We ain't dying. And we ain't changing. Whoa. And we don't love God, and we don't care that we don't love him. Whoa. And we're going to pick his pocket. We're going to get his stuff. And God said, you ain't got my stuff. I let it rain on the just and the unjust. You're tripping. You haven't moved into the supernatural. You're getting what everybody else gets. God wants to open up a remnant of his people to receive his manifestation of kingdom wealth, kingdom provision. You may have received from God in every other area, but God needs a remnant of people to receive the wealth that he's going to put on assignment to carry out his ministry today. So what is it that you must do? You need to make a commitment for the next 90 days. What is the commitment? Pray. Live. Give. Pray, Lord, help me. Lord, show me. Lord, be with me. Live like a Christian. Believe like a Christian. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give like a child of the King, 100%. And tithe and offering for the next 90 days. Pray fervently. Give cheerfully and worship openly. Pray, God, God, help me to love you. Because if I never love you with all of my heart, I will not obey you. And if I don't obey you, then I'm not going to receive your manifestation in my life. Nothing is going to change unless I get there. My Father, I thank you for allowing me to talk to your people today and to myself included. And I believe that you want us to be honest. And we're not here to entertain and to tickle people's ears. We're here because we're dealing with that which is real. I pray that you'd help each one of us make the kind of decision today that we must make, that we will love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now,